Welcome to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Good morning, everyone. Andrew Mays with you for this Monday morning, November 11 of 2019. Plenty to get through on the Breakfast Bite over the next half an hour or so. There was a hell of a lot happening in the world of sport over the weekend. We'll start with the heartbreak for the Aussies yesterday. You wouldn't have thought Ash Barty would have lost, but then well done to Ilya Tomljanovic getting the Aussies back into the tie. It went to the doubles, but unfortunately the Aussies just falling short.
2019.
Meanwhile, to a bit of the other sport from yesterday, we'll start with the NBL as Melbourne United have got on a bit of a roll. Chris Golding amongst the points again.
Moore loses the ball as he makes contact with Barlow, and here's Golding looking for three more. Number five for the game, if you don't mind.
More on that in just a second. Meanwhile, at the other end of the scale, the Melbourne Victory can't quite get going. A one-all draw yesterday with Wellington.
I thread the needle. You came off the shins. Favoured Toivonen. It's Ola Toivonen. Oh, brilliant. Absolutely sensational footwork by Ola Toivonen. And we're all square.
Lots of results to get through from the last 24 hours and the last 20 minutes as well, as there's just been maybe the biggest match in the Premier League all season. Run and won overnight. We'll tell you who won that between Manchester City and Liverpool next.
You're listening to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
On the Breakfast Club this morning as well, plenty to come to. We'll head over to the UK very early off the top with Russell Milton. He'll join us for a wrap of everything that happened over the weekend and that Liverpool-Manchester City game that has just been completed. The early mail coming to you today just before 7. Hopefully we can get you a winner there. Speaking of, one man who's ridden a couple in this Melbourne Cup Carnival has been Damien Oliver. He'll join us at 7.30 this morning to reflect on another stunning carnival for him. We'll head to Western United too as they picked up another 3 points. The new boys showing Melbourne Victory how it's done. Kwabena Apiakubi will join us. He scored on the weekend. Peter Hanscom to jump on the line after 8 this morning. Sheffield Shield starts again tomorrow. So looking forward to the Victorians back in action. There's a couple of other games starting today. Tom Powell-Horan, who won the Gippsland Sixers golf tournament and now is exempt through every tournament in the Australian summer. He'll chat to us about his plans that might have changed this summer. And Lydia Williams from the Matildas as well. They won on the weekend. They play again tomorrow. She'll join us right at the end of the show. So a very busy Monday morning. Let's start, though, with the Fed Cup. And it was heartbreak for the Australians. The final score 3-2 after Ash Barty, unfortunately, went down herself yesterday in 3 sets. Well done to Ilya Tomljanovic, who got the tie back on level terms at 2 apiece. But then Stoser and Barty couldn't complete the job in the doubles, going down in straight sets. This was pretty emotional, Ash Barty, after the doubles loss.
Well, I mean, I think you can see how much it means to all of us. And, yeah, obviously it's bitterly disappointing to be sitting here, not with the result that we're after, but all in all, it's about taking a little bit of perspective. And this team, this group of girls, I wouldn't want to be sitting here with anyone else. It's been an amazing journey, amazing time of the year for us. And to be able to be in a Fed Cup final is something that is very precious. We'll cherish it, and it will drive us more for next year.
So she was shattered on the stage during the presentations, and as you can hear in her voice, pretty emotional at the press conference afterwards. Let's have a listen to her immediate reaction on the turning point yesterday when Linovich was able to come back from almost looking out of the match entirely to claim it in a third set tiebreak, 7-6.
Yeah, I think I had one break point in that game. Missed a forehand line passing shot, and then she clipped the line with a challenge. It proved to maybe be a centimetre in, which would have given me another chance. But disappointing not to be able to take that chance. I think overall, I mean, probably give me half a dozen forehands back again that I'd love to try and hit again or do something different with, and maybe I'm sitting here with a different result. Yeah, every game was close. Even that 5-2 game, she was 40-15 up and probably should have held serve from there. But look back, I had one or two chances in that second set, which I wasn't able to take. Anything can happen in a third set. And Kiki got more aggressive, and I think overall she was the aggressor out there, took a few more chances and got the reward in the end. Losing six in the third hurts in any format, but I think in particular for me and kind of the position that we're in, it's disappointing.
More Fed Cup action to come a little later on in the breakfast bite when we'll hear from Kiki Ladenovic and also Alia Tomljanović, the French woman and the Aussie woman there, who both secured singles victories for their teams, but the French winning the doubles. So unfortunately, the Aussies go down. The Fed Cup hoodoo continues despite that tie being played in Perth yesterday. So France, the Fed Cup champions for 2019. Let's head to the NBL now, where there were a couple of games yesterday. We'll start with Dean Vickerman after the Melbourne United team were able to secure victory. It was pretty convincing in the end, 109-90 against the Adelaide 36ers. In terms of the scorers, the best was for Melbourne was Mello Trimble with 32 points, Chris Golding with 20, Sean Long 16, and Dave Barlow had 12. So nice to see them getting a bit of consistency and continuity into their basketball. Here's Dean Vickerman, the coach, after the win.
I guess that the body of work, if you told me before we went into these four games that you're gonna win all four, I was put my hand up and take that any stage. But you know, today I thought, you know, there was always going to be great energy levels for those other three games, and today I was a little concerned that we hadn't had a practice that had any intensity to it during this period, and would we be able to get to the level that we needed to, effort-wise and energy-wise and defensive, and we didn't to start with. And you know, it took some other people to come off the bench and exert some energy into the game, and that drove other people. I thought, you know, Mello's, once he came out and came back in, amazing game. You know, you go 11 for 13, you know, hold Randall to a decent total, and you know, defend the way he did today. You know, outstanding contribution from him today. But yeah, I thought some of those bench productions were really good. Thought Pledger was good off the bench today. Thought Joe Cools, you know, first time in was really effective as well. And we saw a little bit more from Casey Prather today. Just a couple of really key steals when we needed them. That dunk's not far away.
Dean Vickerman there on the win yesterday, 109-90 over the 36ers. Meanwhile, the Sydney Kings, too good for the Perth Wildcats, 104-85.
Going to Didi Luzada. Didi Luzada, career high in the NBL.
Yeah, so well done to the Kings there. Great start to the season continues. They are top of the NBL table as we speak. We'll hear from a couple of the losing coaches, Joe Wright from the 36ers and Trevor Gleeson from the Perth Wildcats, a little later on in the breakfast bite. Time, though, to get to some A-League from yesterday. A couple of matches, and again, the Melbourne victory stuttering when it counted most. 1-1 with Wellington Phoenix at Amy Park. Ola Toivonen was the only man to score after there was a controversial penalty given early, and Marco Kurtz, the coach of Melbourne Victory, wasn't happy with that decision at all.
I think the hand rule is always hard and different, the interpretation. We learned during the preseason, we had an appointment with Revers. We learned in this moment, like Ola was, it isn't a penalty. But the referee decided to give the penalty, and then we have to respect it. I cannot change it. I think it was not an active movement with Ola's arm to the ball. Yeah, it's a corner. A lot of players are in front. I was a defender as well. And what can you do better? I think the hand is close to the body. But we have to respect the situation. But I'm not happy about.
Marco Kurtz there, pretty shattered about another stuttering performance from the Melbourne Victory. They currently sit in seventh on the table, so they're only 1 point outside the top six. However, it's one win through the opening five games of his reign at Melbourne Victory. Good news for the other two teams. Melbourne City on top of the table. Western United in second on 13 and 10 points respectively. So the other couple of Melbourne teams going along very nicely to start the A-League season. The other result from yesterday, Adelaide United 1-0 over Brisbane Roar. Riley McGree leaving it to the 84th minute to score the winner.
Lovely weight on that pass. Troisi, 1-2. James Troisi. Oh, it must be. It is. Riley McGree. 4 goals in 3 games. And Adelaide United finally break the deadlock in the 84th minute.
Peter Hanscom will join the Breakfast Club after 8 o'clock this morning. Victoria playing Queensland tomorrow at the Junction Oval. Must-win game for the Victorians, coming off a couple of Shield losses in a row to WA and Tasmania over the last 2 weeks. 2 games start today. New South Wales play Western Australia and South Australia play Tasmania. It's getting close to the first test and time is running out to put your hand up to get into that squad. One man who will be there is Nathan Lyon. He spoke about playing with his test teammates for New South Wales later today against WA.
When all the Blues boys get Test boys get back here playing for the Blues, it's pretty exciting. There's a great feeling in amongst the group, and hopefully we can pass on a bit of knowledge, especially the likes of Smithy, to the young guys like Dan Solway, who's just made a fantastic 100 down in Adelaide. But it's a great opportunity for the younger players like Dan to especially learn off Steve. So we're excited to come out here and play here at the SCG and, against the WA. They've got a quality outfit as well, so it's going to be a good challenge out there. Next 4 days?
No, I don't think there's more pressure on me. I think Pakistan are they're a quality outfit. They've got some absolute superstars in their batting lineup, so it's going to be a good challenge for the bowling group. But if we've got a big focus within the bowling group about going out there and taking 20 wickets, we know if we take 20 wickets here in Australia, it'll lead to hopefully a Test match victory for us. So it's not just pressure on me. There's going to be the whole bowling squad. It's going to be all in it together and making sure that we're doing everything in our power to take 20 wickets.
Nathan Lyon there speaking yesterday. Let's head to Alex Carey now. He'll be leading Australia A against Pakistan. Speaking of important matches, this is one for a number of batsmen to put their hand up, although Alex Carey says he knows his place in the pecking order.
I think it's an opportunity for me to, I guess, lead this team. I don't do it at state level. Travis Head's obviously got that title there, and he's the Australian Test vice captain last series, and Usman Khawaja is another great leader. So I guess for those guys, they can just worry about batting, putting a big score on the board, and hopefully putting their hand up for selection in the next Test series. So for me, it's a really good opportunity and something that I'm really looking forward to. It's a really strong group of players. So again, I can throw the ball to any of the bowlers and trust that they're going to, you know, do the right thing, and with the batters as well. It's a really strong lineup.
Just before we leave cricket and head to the ad break, I want to bring you up to date with the T20 International yesterday over in New Zealand. You wouldn't believe it. New Zealand facing England. This was the deciding T20 International in their series, and it came down to the final ball. 5 runs required for England to win it, 4 for a tie. And 3 or less would have guaranteed a New Zealand win.
England, can you do it? Can you break their hearts again? It's a tie!
No! Would you believe it?
Would you believe it indeed? So it went to another super over. Luckily, there wasn't any deciding factor with more Berengers winning or anything like that. England were able to win this one properly, as they were way too good in the super over. Johnny Bairstow was fantastic. So the final score, 5 for 146 New Zealand, England 7 for 146. It was a rain-shortened match too, only 11 overs in that T20 International, but England too good in the one over super over. You couldn't make that stuff up. Let's have a listen to Johnny Bairstow on the series win and heading to another super over with the Kiwis.
Obviously, it's nice to get some runs today. I don't feel like I've potentially scored as many as I wanted to during the series. So to contribute in a shortened game, the pitch here is quite favourable for the batters. So yeah, to get some runs was pleasing. We don't want to keep this happening. I don't think anyone wants to keep that going. But it just shows how close the sides are and how close they've been throughout the series. And it sets up what's going to be a fantastic Test series as well.
Time for a break on the breakfast bite. On the other side of this, we'll bring you up to date with all the Premier League action from overnight. A bit of the action from yesterday at Sandown, including in the Toyota 86 series, one of the most spectacular crashes you will ever see and ever hear. It was quite scary there. Luckily, everyone escaped fairly unhurt. The goal from overnight too, plus some footy news as well.
This is the Breakfast Bite.
Anderson. Oh, it's delicious cross. Liverpool are pulling away. This may be an irreversible lead on the day and through the campaign.
What an important win that might well be for Liverpool. 3-1 at Anfield against Manchester City this morning. That audio thanks to Optus Sport. A massive win for them. 3 points now puts them 8 points clear of Leicester, who are in second position on the table. Chelsea in third, Manchester City now in fourth spot on 25 points. Then there's an 8-point gap to the rest of the competition. Sheffield United in fifth place, Arsenal in sixth, Manchester United in seventh after they had a 3-1 victory over Brighton and Hove Albion overnight. The other game, Wolverhampton beat Aston Villa 2-1. Let's head to the supercars world now, where Scott McLaughlin, even though the celebrations were a little subdued, claimed his second championship in a row.
So it's congratulations to McLaughlin. He picks up the Virgin Australia Supercars Championship for 2019.
Let's hear what he had to say after winning the championship yesterday at Sandown. Jamie Whincup and Craig Lowndes claiming the victory, but Scotty McLaughlin claiming the title.
Oh, it's been a pretty tough month. Things happened, and we just push on as a team. I'm so proud of everyone. I don't want to take away from Jamie and their crew. They did a great job all weekend, and for me, it was, right now we're subdued because we know we've got another one, and we really want to win that one. It's nice to roll into Newcastle with a full head of steam and be somewhat relaxed about it in some ways. So still want to do a good job for our sponsors and partners, and thanks to all the fans. It's been an awesome ride all year, and I'm really proud of it all.
Scott McLaughlin there speaking yesterday, as you heard. A little subdued, but still another championship in the pocket for him. We'll hopefully catch up with him either later on this morning or during the week. Let's head to the golfing world now, where there was an incredible playoff overnight. I think it was six players made the playoff on the European Tour and the Turkish Airlines Open. It came down to two. There was a 3-footer that had to be sunk by Schwab. Unfortunately, this is what happened.
Schwab misses, and it's Tyrrell Hatton is your champion of the Turkish Airlines Open, wins his second Rolex Series event. In dramatic fashion, surprisingly with a par. What an amazing accomplishment. Hatton didn't drive the ball well, fought hard all day, did some special things in the playoff, chipped in for a birdie four in the first playoff hole to keep himself in it.
As you heard, it was absolutely full of drama, but unfortunately, Matthias Schwab missing from 3 foot in that second playoff hole. So Tyrrell Hatton wins at 20 under the card. As I mentioned, it was a six-way playoff. Him, Hebert, Kiriyama, Perez, Schwab, and Van Rooyen all in the playoff. As you heard, he chipped in to stay in it. And then it was one of those unfortunate sights where the celebration was because of a missed putt from 3 foot. But Tyrrell Hatton has another tournament in the bag, the Turkish Airlines Open. Let's listen to what he had to say after the win.
It's so surreal. I mean, I actually can't believe that I've won. It's been quite a difficult year in terms of things happening off course. And, the last month, I feel like I really found my game again. And I said to a few people in my team that if I was lucky enough to win again, then I'd definitely save the moment, because I think it's quite easy to take it for granted. And, sport's great when it's going well, but when it's not going well, it kind of hits home. So I'm absolutely thrilled. Obviously, amazing to have Mick on the bag, and he's done a great job this week. I'm just so happy.
The playoff was not just for a marquee tournament, but also $1.56 million difference in prize money. Just describe what you were thinking, what you were feeling as that playoff was unfolding. You chipped in, you hold a crucial putt to keep it going.
Yeah, you don't think about the money at all. It's all pride. Obviously it's a bonus at the end of it after a great week. And I'm so happy. I don't know what else to say.
To the boxing world now. Paul Gallen spoke yesterday on Channel 9. He's fighting Barry Hall on Friday night, and he was pretty straight talking yesterday, Big Gal.
I'm professional, he's professional. You know, certainly not looking to throw any punches or carry on at the weigh-in. I'm just there to weigh in and get in and get out of there and get there on Friday night and do the job. You know, I've trained hard for it the past, you know, 6-7 weeks. I spent 2 weeks in the UK. That was supposed to be a holiday and basically turned into a training camp, sparring some of the best fighters in the world, and come back to Australia and sparred some really good guys here. You know, I'm ready to go. I'm sure Barry's as well, but... look, at the end of the day, Barry's been sparring with guys who have been helping him out, you know, getting him through the rounds. I'm getting in there with 10-ounce gloves, going to try and hit him really hard in the head.
Bit of AFL news from yesterday. James Warple spoke about winning the BNF and his goals for next year.
Yeah, it's incredibly humbling. Yeah, it is pretty surreal. You know, probably think they're like a bit out of place there. Sam Mitchell's been huge to me since he's come over from West Coast. You know, you think you're training hard and then, you know, he peeps over your shoulder and says, what are you doing? Yeah, he's always on you a bit to keep doing extras and keep working hard. Most boys do normally come in and have to put on a bit of weight, but I'm a bit opposite, so I've got a little bit extra weight. So, yeah, they tighten things up around me a little bit, so I've got to lose a few. Might have to spend a bit more time forward with Tommy coming back, but yeah, I'm pretty sure everyone's going to tag Tom, not me, so I think I'll be running around like I had with Chook, but, yeah, I think I'll be all right.
So there you go, James Warple on return to Hawthorn training. Just a couple of the results in case you missed them from off the top. Unfortunately, in the Fed Cup final last night, Australia going down 3-2 to France after Ash Barty stumbled. Ali Tomljanovic got things back on track, but then Barty and Stosur not able to close things out in the doubles. A 1-1 draw for Melbourne victory as their stumbling start to the season under Marco Kurtz continues. In the NBL, it was a great win for Melbourne United over the Adelaide 36ers. Chris Golding and Melo Trimble leading the way again, so they're starting to get back on track. And the Supercars yesterday, Scott McLaughlin claiming the championship after Jamie Wincup and Craig Lowndes won again at Sandown. Let's head back to the tennis now, where Ali Tomljanovic spoke about the difference between normal matches and the Fed Cup tennis environment that she's enjoyed being a part of this year.
I've never felt before the pressure, the how much I wanted it, which is weird because tennis is an individual sport, but I think that's what this team has, you know, brought that to me. That's how they've kind of accepted me and treated me. So I felt that love from them that I just wanted to give that back. So I really think I can use this in my advantage for my tennis. Yeah, I mean, honestly, I've never felt so sick after a match like I did yesterday. You know, such a different feeling compared to some other matches I've lost in my career. But there's not a lot of time that you can dwell. And I still, you know, this team is so unbelievable with the atmosphere and the energy. But you know, they really pulled me through after that loss. Yeah, it just shows you it's tennis. You know, I was really not surprised, but also flattered that they still backed me for today after yesterday's performance. They believed in my ability, and that's kind of all you can ask for from a team like that. And I'm just happy that I could have contributed in any way and give them a chance to, you know, win it.
Ali Tomljanovic there after the Aussies got things back on track, but then unfortunately going down in the doubles. Another Fed Cup loss in the final this time, so that hoodoo continues. That's it for the Breakfast Bite on this Monday morning. Lots to get through and plenty of guests on the show as well. Damien Oliver, Peter Hanscom, amongst a swathe of others to join us on a very busy Monday morning with a hell of a lot happening over the weekend. Half Whitey and Scotty Gallen in after the 6 o'clock news to take you all through it. Don't forget, get involved. 0416 90 50 52, the SMS, or give us a buzz. 1300 652 927. It's news time.